I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the program, actor Joe Hanrahan will join us to discuss the various characters that he portrays in the one-man show, Sex, Drugs, Rock and Roll, which examines our country's class system and our belief in the American dream. And St. Louis Public Radio's arts and culture reporter, Willis Ryder Arnold, new to St. Louis, will reflect on his brief time here and what he's discovered about the St. Louis art scene as a newcomer. But first, take the A train. The Harlem Renaissance comes to St. Louis. All aboard. This performance of music, poetry, and comedy highlighting the Harlem Renaissance is a collaboration and part of a planned series that hopes to bring the St. Louis community together through the arts. Bobby Norfolk might just be St. Louis's best-known storyteller. Hi, Bobby. Good to see you again.
Yes, sir. Good morning.
And also here, Beverly Brennan. She's producing this, and she's also the director of theater and drama at Harrah-Stow State University. Hi, Beverly. How are you?
Fine. Hi, Steve. Thanks for having us.
Well, I feel like we're on our way somewhere. Taking the train.
Oh, yeah.
This event is really a kickoff, Bobby, of a bigger project.
It is. It is a program that has been a long time coming in terms of the things that have been going on, not only in St. Louis and St. Louis County, but in America in general, and how to take those incidences that have been very, very traumatic to people in America and trying to heal through the arts.
And how do you propose to do that through a program like this?
Well, what we want to do, first of all, is to take the arts itself and focus on the Harlem period between 1920 and 1945 and take all those people who were responsible for creating the Harlem Renaissance and showing that what happened five decades ago is true even today.
And Beverly, the Harlem Renaissance.
Well, the funny thing about Langston Hughes from the Harlem Renaissance is that he's so very relevant today. He was not just a poet, as most people think of him. He was a humorist. He was a social activist. He was very much committed to civil rights. And the more and more Bobby and I looked at this material, edited, wrote narration, the more we discovered that the issues Langston Hughes brought to life through his writing are the very same issues we're grappling with today. Hmm.
So take the A Train, this program that's going to open tonight for three performances on Saturday and Sunday. Or does it open tonight? Am I wrong about that?
Actually,
I'm a week away. Pardon me. It's Saturday, January the 10th, and Sunday, January the 11th at the chapel. We'll get that straight. But this, Bobby, involves you doing your storytelling thing, but features a lot of other talented people doing other things too.
Yes, it does. As a matter of fact, there will be other performers on stage other than myself, i.e. David Graham, i.e. the clean comedian. He will portray Langston Hughes. You have to Google his website.
Now, what? You know, I have to ask you about that.
I know. We don't have enough time for that. But Google David Graham, the clean
he's
comedian.
He's known as the clean comic, but he's still funny.
He's very funny.
Hmm. In spite of that, okay.
Yes. That being said, there will be vocalists. Darlene King will be a vocalist who will be singing Billie Holiday. And Chancellor Tom George will be on piano, Chancellor of UMSL, along with some other musicians. As a matter of fact, there's this incredible young prodigy, musical prodigy, Wyatt Forehand, who will be on drums. And then we have another gentleman on bass, and his name would be Holden Thorpe. And they will be holding down the musical part of the Harlem Renaissance.
Beverly, you're directing this. So how does this all tie together? Is there a storyline that goes through this? Or
the story really is kind of a happening, what we called a happening, about in the 70s, I guess. We want the audience to feel like they're getting on board and they're stopping at different stations along the way for comedy or for music and taking a little break in the dining car and taking a trip through what the entertainment was like during the Harlem Renaissance.
Well, could you share a little history with us about the Harlem Renaissance and what it means to you?
Well, the Harlem Renaissance was a time when the arts were flourishing, particularly for African Americans, and Langston Hughes was one of the leaders.
Now, when we say Harlem, was that particular to Harlem? Or is this going on across the country and we just call it the Harlem Renaissance?
This particular Renaissance was very much Harlem. It was where everybody came together, the singers, the musicians, the actors, the poets. And part one is devoted to Langston Hughes. But in part two, Bobby alludes to W.E.B. Du Bois, also Paul Laurence Dunbar, several other writers and other characters, and of course, Billie Holiday. The music was going crazy, Duke Ellington and so forth, and it was just a happening scene.
Talk to me about Langston Hughes and who he was and how you intend to portray him.
Langston Hughes, born in Joplin, Missouri, was more than a poet and a writer. And he was one of the first people to bring the Black American experience into foreplay in terms of how Black Americans saw themselves during this period, just following the Industrial Revolution. And what he wanted to do was to heal through the arts. So we are actually channeling his energy.
Langston Hughes was looking for himself, looking to belong. Langston Hughes was somewhat abandoned by his mother. It could not have been easy to be a writer, much less a Black man and a writer. Langston Hughes led a different lifestyle and probably was not well accepted and felt some hurt.
What do you mean?
Langston Hughes was gay. And I think it was very, very difficult for him to be Black and gay and wanting to be a working artist. But most of all, he wanted to be known as a writer, not a Black writer.
Uh-huh. Were his words meant for other Black people? Was he talking to other Black people, or was he sending white America a message, or was it both?
It was more both. He wanted to take the African American experience, and he wanted to enlighten white America as to they need to share in this so-called American pie. And not just take the crumbs off the floor.
For example, his poem, Theme for English B, is about being a Black kid in a class where he's the only one and the teacher is white. And how do those dynamics play into teaching and learning?
That's Beverly Brennan, and we're also talking to Bobby Norfolk about Take the A Train, which is next weekend at the Chapel. Why don't you share something, Bobby, from Langston Hughes, from the program? Could you choose something and tell us why?
Yes, definitely. A Dream Deferred basically will start the program, and it is the quintessential piece that I think we've been talking about for the last several minutes. What happens to a dream deferred? Does it drop like a raisin in the sun, or fester like a sore and then run? Does it stink like rotten meat, or crust and sugar over like a syrupy sweet? Maybe it just sags like a heavy load, or like Ferguson, boom, does it explode?
Now you added that last Ferguson part, but it sure fits.
That was artistic license.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it does fit.
That was brilliant improvisation by Bobby Norfolk in a rehearsal, and it made it so much more poignant that Hughes was talking about things we long for and cannot have. Wanting to fit in, feeling like we're lost, and that frustration spilling over into violence.
Could we go back and talk a little bit about an overview of this whole series? That I know a lot of it's in the plan. I think some things are in the planning stages, and some things you've nailed down, right? Is it a year-long list of things you're doing?
We're trying to make it a millennium-long event.
And were you part of this too, part of this planning?
Yes.
So tell me why all this came about and how it started initially.
Well, I can talk about the part in terms of how the Langston Hughes piece came. It originally was the mindset of Ron Himes when he worked with me and Kingsley Legs on the Langston Hughes piece several years ago in the 1980s. And then when Kingsley Legs went on to better things on Broadway, then I looked for another Langston, and then I found Blake Travis, the lead. Blake Travis, who became Langston. And then when he passed away, the piece sort of languished for a while. And then I got with Beverly Brennan, and we discovered David Graham and his talents to be the new Langston Hughes. And so then there was this other thing that happened.
Well, at Harris Stowe this year, in the past semester, I hired Bobby Norfolk as a teaching artist, and he did a workshop with our students. My students did a show, and Bobby performed with us, and then Bobby and David did what we were calling jazz, jive, and jam. That sort of evolved into something bigger, where we looked at the whole Harlem Renaissance and not just Langston Hughes. And when Bobby became a distinguished alumnus at UMSL, he performed a piece from the show, and I believe the chancellor approached him.
Dr. George.
Yes. And now Take the A-Train is an expanded version of Jazz, Jive, and Jam.
And if we can just take a moment, you've got a number of other things planned for the year ahead. A Shadow Ball, We Are the Ship, something on Scott Joplin. Talk about these things.
All these programs are one- and two-man shows that talk about the African-American experience and how it relates to what is happening today, even though all these things happened decades ago. And what I want to do personally in terms of bringing in Chancellor George from UMSL is to put live music to all these things that I am doing on stage. And that is the key, the tie, I think, in healing through the arts, to bring black and white together, just like the piano keys on a piano that Tom George plays so eloquently. I think at some point we're going to talk about how to get tickets. Is that not
right? We can do that for a moment if you'd like to, sure. Well, the best way is to go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to your website, but you can say something about
Excellent. Excellent. And if you don't go to STL Public Radio, you can go to www.brownpaperbagtickets.com.
So Take the A-Train. Isn't this a little different for you, Bobby? I mean, you're a storyteller. I've seen you work many times, and storytellers are sort of on their own, but now I don't know how unusual this is for you. Now you're in the show with all these other elements, what? Sort of an ensemble thing. Oh. Is this different for you?
No, sir. I beg to differ, Mr. Potter. I was originally an actor, starting at Sumner High School.
Oh.
And my first drama teacher was a graduate of Harris Stowe, where Professor Brennan teaches right now. Mm-hmm. And I graduated from Sumner High School, where Professor Brennan used to teach.
We have a lot of crazy crossover stuff. And that's part of the reason why we're thinking about working on a new piece together called The Hill and the Bill.
Yeah, mention that. That's a new project.
Well, I think we're going to open with Bobby saying, I'm black, and me saying, I'm white. And Bobby saying, I'm a man, and me saying, I'm a woman. And Bobby saying, I grew up in St. Louis, and me saying, me too. But then him saying, but I grew up in the Ville. And then me saying, I grew up on the Hill. Oh. And then we have all this crossover stuff with Sumner High School and all kinds of things, baseball stories and so forth. I came to St. Louis when my father got the job broadcasting with the St. Louis Cardinals.
We're talking Jack Buck.
And I grew up on the Hill until 9 and then moved to Ladue. And I saw St. Louis through different eyes than Bobby Norfolk. Hmm. And yet we kind of traded places a little bit later on.
Exactly.
Bobby started performing in places where he was in the minority. I started my teaching career where I was in the minority.
So there must have been some interesting insights that you both got.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. We are trying to produce this show sometimes to premiere this year. And there will be insights and true pieces. They say the truth is stranger than fiction, and we will be bringing it.
And I think the theme ultimately is going to be that people can be so very, very different, but mostly we are so much alike.
That's a good message. The Ville and the Hill, we'll look for that. Also, are you not collaborating on a showcase on February 14th also?
On Valentine's Day, also at the chapel, which will be stories of love. There will be stories of romance, stories of tragedy, all based on love. And that is why it's on February 14th at the chapel.
What we're talking about primarily today is Take the A-Train. The Harlem Renaissance comes to St. Louis. That'll be next Saturday at 8 p.m. and Sunday, January 11th, at 3 p.m. at the chapel, which is on the west side of Forest Park on Alexander Drive. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org, to the Cityscape page. And would you share something else from your program? Is this also a Langston Hughes piece?
This is a Langston Hughes piece. It is, and it's an imaginary conversation between a very feisty woman who has gotten a collect call from an ex-boyfriend, and it's called Madam and the Phone Bill. You say I okayed long distance. Okayed it when? My goodness, Central, that was then. I'm mad and disgusted at that Negro now. I don't pay no reverse charges, no how. What's that? You say I will pay it or else you'll take out my phone? You better let my phone alone. I didn't tell him to telephone me. Roscoe knows darn well long distance ain't free. If I ever catch him, Lord have pity. Call him up from Kansas City just to say he loves me. I know that was so. Why didn't he tell me something I don't know? For instance, what can them other girls do that Alberta K. Johnson can't do? And more, too. What's that, Central? You say you don't care nothing about my private affair? But even less about your phone bill. Does I care? Click.
Bobby Norfolk, Take the A Train next Saturday and Sunday at the Chapel, featuring Bobby, of course, also the UMSL and Washington University Jazz Bands with Tom George on piano, and also featuring David Graham and other guest vocalists. And have we left anything out?
We've covered it.
No,
tickets are
no,
mere
no.
$20.
We left out one Harris Stowe student.
Oh, my God. Armonte Ambus, who will be performing some Langston Hughes pieces, and one of Professor Brennan's prize students.
He's a wonderful young man, and he's going to do two pieces by Langston Hughes. So we're happy to have a couple of young people involved.
I want to ask you about one more thing, Bobby, in the couple of minutes we have remaining. I guess I know you originally from the St. Louis Storytelling Festival.
Yes.
Which has been going on for how long? 20, 30 years?
37.
I've had the honor of emceeing it the last four or five. I can't remember now. But last year, you introduced me, and that was something I'll never forget.
Yes, I think you danced on stage.
Uh-huh.
It was at the Two Hill, and I came on to Earth, Wind, and Fire's Saturday night.
I want to ask you a little bit about the festival, because people may not know. It's become a great tradition, and the evening that I MC is like the finale night, but it's a week or so, maybe is it 2 weeks or at least a week, of different storytelling activities all over the city at schools and libraries and
yes.
other functions. It's been going on a long time, and it's very popular, and the people that are involved think it's very important. And it went through a change in the last year. It was a little up in the air what was going to happen to it. But so could you give us a little synopsis on that?
Yes, it will be April 30th through May 3rd this year. And the University of Missouri in Columbia has taken over the reins of the St. Louis Storytelling Festival, the Extension Division. And there is a new person that will be the a director. And we'll be losing Becky Wallstrom, who has been a mainstay in terms of being a director at that festival and carrying us to new heights. But hopefully now with the new director and with Ron Turner, the founder, we'll go even higher than we have before.
My best story is I remember how I got involved. Becky was on the show promoting the Story Festival one year, years ago, and she asked me, she said, what do you know about storytelling? And I said, nothing. She said, you'd be perfect. And so I was involved ever since then.
Gotcha.
So Take the A Train. The Harlem Renaissance comes to St. Louis next Saturday and Sunday at the Chapel. Go to our website, stlpublicradio.org, for more information. We've been talking to the director of that production, Beverly Brennan, who's also director of theater and drama at Harris Stowe State University, and with storyteller Bobby Norfolk. Thank you both for being here, and break a leg next week. And good luck with the whole year-long series and the rest of that.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, Sex, Lies, Rock, and Roll. This is St. Louis Public Radio.